Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, thank you again, Isaiah, as you do each and every time we come on these airways, introducing this show to our 47,255-plus listeners that have tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business Radio, Home-Based Business Radio here on Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener-supported radio, because without our listeners, then we'd be basically just talking to ourselves. So, you know, we're thankful for all of the listeners that have tuned into a show here on this platform of Home-Based Business 101. And today's show, we have at a new time, which we're doing today, which is 7:30 on Mondays. So mark your calendars, 7:30 on Mondays. We will be bringing you the National Black Unity News Show with publisher Mr. David Murphy. And we're excited and happy to be able to broadcast this show at this particular time. We looked over, you know, what we have been doing and just came to the conclusion that Sundays might not have been such a great time at 3:30 to have people tune in and listen in, especially we're getting to the height and the end of football season and everybody's got a favorite team that, you know, that they glued to the TV set or at the game or whatever, cheering their team on, hoping that they'd be able to make it to the big dance, which is the Super Bowl, and, you know, make it through the playoffs and get all the way to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, just like here in Baltimore, you know, we had brother Lamar Jackson, who led the Ravens to their last two victories, and don't know if Flacco's going to be back for the next game or if he's going to continue to have to carry the team. But anyway, they didn't lose no steps in their stride as they, you know, needed to be able to seal some victories, especially after some heartbreaking losses that they had. They lost to the Saints by 1 point. They lost, you know, another game. I'm trying to remember what game that was, but anyway, they came off three back-to-back losses, and he was able to secure them for two victories. And so, you know, we're excited about that and just looking forward to them having a great season, closing the season out, being able to hopefully make it to the playoffs. Well, this show is brought to you by The Vortex. And what is The Vortex? The Vortex is a consumer travel booking engine that helps you save on your hotel, how you're going to stay at a hotel. Make sure you sign up and get a free Vortex link so that you can save money on your stay. Average savings runs anywhere from about $25 to $35. If you need to rent a car, book it off the Vortex. Average savings in terms of renting a car runs anywhere from $15 on the low side to about $47 on the high side in terms of one night or a couple nights. If you need to go on a cruise, then definitely you want to book that off of the Vortex. The Vortex, again, is a free account that you can obtain by going to www.myvortex365.com/MU Group. And if you'd like to become a Vortex distributor, you can also hook us up at Surge365, or you can just text me at 252-458-3712, and then it just says, I'd like to become a Vortex distributor, where you can begin to earn money every time someone saves by using your Vortex link. So that's what we're doing here. Part of Movements Unlimited is we're raising money for our various youth and young adult programs that we want to be able to get launched in 2019, and we're using the Vortex as a platform to be able to do that. So we want to, you know, make sure that you sign up for that free account. Again, that's www.myMYVortex365.com/MU group. Okay, let me bring Mr. Murphy up. So, Mr. Murphy, what's been happening out there in the world, man?
Oh, it's a lot going on, you know, and, you know, as we approach these, what they call the holiday seasons, you know, I was listening to what you're saying, people are traveling here and there. So if they're going to do that, they need to get in touch with you, you know, get involved with the Vortex and Mr. Jahi and Cynthia Jahi, because not only can they save you some money when you travel, but they also can help you make some money. So it's a powerful combination, and so I strongly suggest that you look into this, you know, because the money you save just may be your own. But I want to reintroduce myself to this time limit because, as Mr. Jahi just said, mentioned that we had moved to a new time frame because we wanted to reach even more people because this is some vital times for us. And I'm the publisher of the National Black Unity News, and I'm very well pleased to say that we've been around for a little over a year and a half, and we have made great strides since that time. And while I'm on the subject of black newspaper, I want to encourage all the listening audience to go to YouTube when you get a chance. Not right now, because I'm going to talk to you first. But there's a documentary about the black press. It's called The Black Press, Soldiers Without Swords. It's about an hour and 25 minutes long. But it's a documentary of the history of the black newspapers and how instrumental it was in so many factors in our life. And even till this day, you know, I was truly amazed. I'm a student of my industry, but I was this thing expanded my knowledge base greatly because I didn't fully understand, you know, the impact that black newspaper has had. And quite a few people, now I'm not going to call a whole bunch of names, but Du Bois, Frederick Douglass, Ida B. Wells, a whole bunch of people that you know throughout our history who have made significant strides for us in the past was journalists, a whole bunch of them was, and they worked with black newspapers. And it brings up subjects. They were even very instrumental in the migration from the South to the North. You know, we had publications, you know, in the South, they, you know, in back around the 1820s, you know, in the North, they had some of the major cities. That's when they first started publishing black newspapers. And but in the South, they was highly regulated not to, you know, even allow the people even to get newspapers then. And but you know, nevertheless, through various services, the black press spread throughout the South. And it was highlighting the things that was going up in the North. And so a lot of the young people migrated. They migrated so quickly that putting up laws to stop people. They were locking people up for moving. And they even banned, outlawed news, black newspaper in some areas in the South. And so some of the Porters, which was a strong black organization back in that day, one of our strongest black organizations, used to take the newspapers on the train and drop them off in secluded areas, and people were still was able to get the news. But, you know, that's why, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I stand on such great, strong shoulders because even to this day, times have changed, but our situation pretty much remained the same. And I often tell people that, you know, the state of the black media in this country, I like to remind people that we own less than 1% of the media, of the press. And 99% of the information you receive pretty much is coming from outside resources. And most of you astute people out there know that they do not favor, you know, that greatly. You know, matter of fact, it's used as propaganda to keep us not knowing the truth, to keep us down on the farm, so to speak, and to keep us from connecting with one another. And when I was talking about the history of the black press, for the first time, people was getting information about our comics. See, the white press wouldn't even put us in their publications unless we were doing something trifling. We attacked someone, or they saying we attacked someone, or there was a lynching going on. But other than that, they didn't even know if we lived, we died, even if we ain't got married. They never mentioned nothing of that kind of stuff in their press. But that's why, like I say, some brave soldiers back in the day decided to have a press, and it was a dangerous thing to do. Even till this day, it's still dangerous to put out information. Even myself, and I tell people this often, you know, I'm a dangerous man to society. Because I have the potential to cause problems for the larger society just by speaking truth to power. And that's what my ancestors did. They spoke truth to power. They stuck their neck out of there. And they made great changes because they was instrumental, the biggest instrumental in the civil rights movement. They had so many different impacts. So that's why I say I encourage you, if you want to know some serious history about us, go on YouTube and look at this documentary called The Black Press, Soldiers Without Swords. And you will be truly amazed, as I am, about the impact of the black press. But that was yesterday. Today, instead of us getting lynched, we getting killed in the street, even by law enforcement. Today, people are being harassed by other citizens of the United States because they babysitting, sitting in restaurants, Starbucks, going to a swimming pool, having cookouts. People are being harassed on all sorts of levels because the tone has changed, because politics have changed in this country. And a lot of factors that you thought was dormant are now coming back to life again. There's a segment of people, and I don't know why certain people feel this way, that they dislike or hate another group of people just because of the color of their skin or the content of their character, whatever you want to call it. But to me, any logical thinking person, from my perspective, it's kind of hard for me to even think that way, you know, to feel that strongly about another group or a person, to have no knowledge of them, and to feel that strongly about people. That's why I say propaganda must play the big part in that, because media have formed a lot of opinions in people's minds. And so therefore, a lot of people feel threatened. And, you know, I talk to a lot of brothers and sisters about, you know, the current situation in this country. And a lot of times, you know, this thing called guilt. You know, a lot of people think that we as African American, black people, indigenous people, whatever you call yourself, black people, they feel as though if we might do to them what they have done to us. And so, I think our nature, you know, when it comes to the original man, you know, I think our nature, it don't go like that. I think we are loving people. I think we have the content of God, you know, love. Love is the strongest force out there. And when it gets diluted, you end up with hate. When it gets to the other end of the spectrum. And so, and that's the same thing, I guess, with people. You know, as people diluted or interact with one another, move to different climates. But in any case, I'm not going to get on that. But in any case, the point I'm trying to make is this. The black media played a significant part in our survival back in the day. And it will continue to do so until this day. You see, the National Black Unity News is a publication for us, and it is by us. The National Black Unity News, not that I'm being biased to my own publication, because it's not mine. When I say mine, I'm saying we, because it takes a village to run this publication. It's a conglomeration. It's a collaboration of men and women who have come together, professionals in different areas have come together to share information with our people about different subject matter to educate you, to inform you, to give you a better quality of life. And we don't put anything in there. We try not to put anything in there negative, anything like that. But it's an uplift. It's a solution-oriented publication. It's a nationwide publication. And I also have to say at this time, there are several African nations are looking at the National Black Unity News and want to work with us because they are saying we are a prime example. The publication is a prime example how unity can work. When you see different people from different backgrounds come together for a sole purpose of uplifting us. And so, Brother Satai, I want to share with the audience is this. If you want to get a copy of the National Black Unity News, you can go to our website, thenationalblackunitynews.com, or you can call 443-455-2373. Again, that's 443-455-2373. And I think you will be encouraged when you pick up one of our publications. You can read it online or you can get a hard copy. You can get a subscription. We can send it right to your home or your office. And it's a powerful publication. And Brother Satai and his wife is a part of the publication. They are editors in the publication, and you can find information about them in there as well. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wanted to share one thing that I needed to do when we started off, and I didn't get a chance to do, and that's a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Dennis Kimbrough. I remember when I met him, he was putting this book together, and you know he was just talking about that. You know they have all of these different daily readings that people read. You know, the Daily Word and the Daily Bread and other stuff. He said, you know, what inspired him was to look through different quotes and information by successful black people that had a positive message. So we want to read from today's reading, November 26th. My kind of person. God speaks whenever he finds a humble listening ear. In the language, he uses his kindness. That's quoted by Lena Horne, famous singer and actor who, you know, I remember Red Fox used to always talk about, you know, wanting to be able to have a date with Lena Horne. Yeah, I remember when she played in the Broadway hit Stormy Weather. Her, the Mills Brothers, who was another group of talented people that had tremendous talents in terms of dancing and stuff that they did. Anyway, here's the reading for today. Kindness is the golden chain by which society is bound together. Every day is filled with the opportunity to be polite and thoughtful instead of indifferent and careless, kind and gentle rather than difficult and contemptible. We can all look back to someone who, through an act of kindness, took special pains to help us. The kindness done today, said the famed educator Benjamin Elijah Mays, is the surest way to a brighter tomorrow. Unquote. One way to get along better in the world, writes Maya Angelou, is to be just a little kinder than necessary. Unquote. Reverend E.V. Hill, pastor of one of the largest black churches in the country, agrees. Quote, don't expect to enjoy life, he says, if you keep your kindness bottled up. To be successful means performing acts of kindness, unquote. There's a fable about this idea of kindness. It features the sun and the wind who were engaged in a contest to see who could get an old man to take his coat off first. The wind blows ferociously trying to loosen the coat, but the old man just pulls his coat tighter around him. Finally, the wind gives up and the sun appears. The sun beams a steady ray of sunshine down on the old man, who soon takes off his coat to escape the heat. More and better things are accomplished in the world by kindness than by force. When we find ourselves most frustrated, it is often because we are trying to force certain things to happen. But our patient and steady desire to grow, fed by love and kindness of others, cannot be stopped by anything or anyone. Our own kindness is a powerful force in our lives. It is like the tender flower that lifts its petals through concrete. Today I will perform the act of sincere kindness. And it takes me back to thinking about when Nelson Mandela was released from prison and they interviewed this white lady, and she said, if I had known all we had to do was release him and y'all wasn't going to riot and burn the damn place down and come after us like we had came after y'all, she said, we'd have been releasing him. And that was like you said before, people, it's our nature, to, you know, as African people, to be kind and to share that kindness with the world. And so, you know, that was a very, very powerful lesson in the struggle for apartheid, because Nelson Mandela and Bishop Desmond Tutu, they led the greatest forgiveness movement in the history of the world. I mean, they had to in terms of what most people's logic and thinking was, I mean, they could have came after the Afrikaners who had murdered people, throwing people out of helicopters, did all kind of other stuff, and just did a whole different approach to how they was going to bring about the development of their country, bringing their country into becoming a modern democracy. And they still got work to do, but I think about, you know, 27 years being locked up, not being bitter, coming out and then leading the greatest reconciliation and forgiveness movement in the history of the world. I mean, that takes a lot of strength, fortitude, and courage to say, I'm going to forgive my oppressors for what they did and move on, because we got more work to do. He says we got generations that's going to have to find out, that's going to have to be able to live together in this country. So, you know, we can learn a lot from what they did as far as leading that nationwide forgiveness movement in terms of all of the forgiveness that they gave out to their fellow South Africans who were basically invaders, who had invaded the country, set up shop, took over the land, everything else, and instituted a series of tremendous laws that created poverty beyond no measure that could be understood in terms of the quote-unquote logical world. So, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of powerful lessons to learn from the South African forgiveness movement.
Yes, sir, I agree. You know, it's a quote that I used to hear all the time. And I think it comes from out the Bible, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. It says, a time for this, and there's a time for that. You know, Michelle Obama said, I think she quoted this. She said, when they go low, we go high. You know, and there's principles. You know, I always tell people this. You know, there's godly principles, you know, and then there's natural principles. And then there's man's principles. You can call them principles or laws. But the high is God, and God is love. And, you know, when you have to deal on man's law, you have to operate. You know, under these laws, but you have to operate in all three of them. But, you can love your brother. You can love your enemies. You can forgive them. because yesterday is gone and ain't too much you can do it, but you can learn from it if you're a wise person. But then again, sometimes things will repeat itself. But you know, it's a time also to defend yourself. You know, that's a natural law. You know, there is no species on earth that I can think of that do not protect their young. The survival of their species, it's a natural law. And in order for us to survive, yes, we must love, because that's one of the key reasons for why they defend the children, because it's love. But when the time comes, or if a time comes, and usually it does in a person's lifetime, it's a fight or flight situation. And but you have to choose wisely. And I don't condone violence or hurting or killing anyone, but when it comes to protecting myself, my wife, my children, my community, then one must have to stand up if it's threatened in that manner. And so, but then again, but if you demonstrate, which is, I think, is the strongest force out there, tolerance, love, patience, and like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you go high, because sometimes you have to become the teacher. And when people are acting a fool out there, some say, you know, you don't have to go to that level. But you know, this thing you were speaking about being kind to one another, you know, and the things that Mandela and quite a few other people, you know, have exercised and use those principles is a powerful force. And like I said, it takes more strength to even do that. And I encourage everyone to do that, because kindness is, I mean, you know, most people don't look at that, but kindness is one powerful tool to be used. You know, sometimes you don't know what a person is going through sometimes. And it could be your coworker, it could be a family member, it could be a neighbor or a stranger. And sometimes just a kind word, a smile, or just a pat on the back sometimes can change people's lives. In actuality, can even actually save people's lives. Because, like I say, you never know the brink of, you know, people going to the brink of suicide. Now, I want to know, because this is a different time frame. Brother Satari and I, while I have him on this thing, I just want to, since we're on this subject, man, I just want to share with the audience about an act of kindness or a kind word or a positive word, what it can do for somebody. And this is a fact. Brother Satari and I, years ago, had put on this little dinner thing we gave in appreciation for Barbara Robinson. I think she's a senator right now here in the Baltimore area. And that's before she even came into office and stuff. She had a little cubbyhole downtown, but she was doing the work, and she used to host a radio show on Morgan State University. So Brother Satari and I gave her a plaque that evening at this recreational center. And you know, we always speaking positive about the upliftment of our people. We always been about that. But a few years later, Barbara Robinson, she's still doing her radio broadcast on Morgan State University. And I used to come on her show every first Tuesday of the month. And I used to publish a newspaper at that time called The Informer Newspaper. And so she had a business talk show. And as she and I was on the radio, she received a phone call from a young lady. And the young lady spoke and said, and she really didn't even mention her name. She said, "Mr. Murphy, Miss Robinson." She said, "You don't know who I am." But she said, "Several years ago, I was walking up a street, and somebody invited me into this recreational center. And she said, you know, they gave me some food, and I listened to the people speaking. And it was you, Mr. Murphy, another gentleman. He was speaking about you, Brother Jahi, and Miss Robinson." Now, I don't know who and what we were saying at that time, but you know, I know what we were saying, things that was uplifting. I don't know what triggered her or sparked her, but she said at that time she was contemplating suicide. And she said, because of the words that we spoke at that presentation that evening encouraged her. And it was obvious she was on the phone with us, and she said she had just graduated from college. Now, I tell people this, I'm a big man, you know, I'm a big, strong black man. But, you know, that girl moved me. Her words, you know, touched me deeply because it dawned on me the impact of what kindness can do for people. And see, Brother Satire, as you recall, you and I did this out the kindness of our hearts. We didn't get paid, nobody paid. Matter of fact, we took money out of our pockets to put this on because we were trying to encourage our people. And we wanted also, it was an act of kindness to give Barbara Robinson a plaque. We took that out of our pocket as well. And the result of that, now we don't know all other people that was in the audience, what, how it affected them or where it occurred, but I do know one thing. This one young lady, she said it, not us, she said it saved her life. And so, audience, what I'm saying is this. Your words are powerful. Your words don't come back void. The Bible speak about that. When you speak words, it's like a two-way sword. It can cut both ways. You can cut a person down with your words, or you can lift them up. And so what I'm saying to you, random acts of kindness are powerful too. You know, people have done, I've heard of stories of the most racist people out here could stand to be around us, but because of some black person or some person, this random act of kindness to that person who had this hatred in their heart, melted them, changed them, changed their mindset. So on that subject matter, yes, it's a powerful, powerful too, because I recall random acts of kindness being done to me when I was at some of my lowest ebbs in life. And it lifted me up. You know, like I say, we human. And this thing called kindness is such a matter of fact. I want to share one more small story with you because I speak when I'm encouraged, and I'm encouraged to share this story because this story impacted me until this day, and that's one of the reasons why I'm still doing the National Black Unity News today, because someone encouraged me. You know, I spoke about this on this show before. Years ago, probably about 9 years ago, my mother was gravely ill. She was sick, and matter of fact, we had given up on her. Doctors had, and matter of fact, she was in a hospice situation. I'm here to say right now, she's still with us, though. She defied the odds. But in any case, I come from a big family, and some of the family members, you know, because they thought she was going to die, and then there was properties involved, and some of the brothers or sisters of mine got a little upset because who they was going to leave the property to. And I was shocked because it was me who was going to receive this property, and I was shocked at some of the reaction from my own brothers and sisters. And at the same time, my mother going through these changes, my brother and sister acting the way they did, because hurting people hurts people. And I don't know if it was intentional, but it sent me in a rocket spin. I said before, I'm a strong black man. Those words, those deeds of unkindness cut me to my core because it came from my closest people to me, my loved ones. And so I went into what you call a state of depression. I couldn't do nothing. So I was, you know, strange, you know. And then they sent my mother home because she wanted to come home. She didn't want to die in the hospital. She wanted to come home. And she did. And I only lived 2 blocks away from her. Do you know I didn't have enough? I was in such a deep state of depression. I didn't have enough strength to even go down there to sit with her, you know, and I knew something was wrong with me. So I sought help. But as things started, you know, it took a while to come out of that state of mind. And then another associate of mine, a gentleman y'all may know over the airways, he's a radio person, a soldier, as I call it, a brother named by the name of Lou Fields, gave a dinner. It was around Christmas time, you know, many years ago. And he gave me a ticket. He said, "Dave, I ain't seen you in a while. Come on out, man." For some reason, I decided to go. And it was only about 25 people there. And he suggested, he said, "Well, let's all go around and introduce ourselves." Now, I'm still in a state of depression, so to speak. Just you know, just head held down. And so Barbara Robinson was at this dinner, too, you know. And so she spoke. And she said, you know, she did this and she does that. And then she said, "Oh, yeah, by the way, I want to thank David Murphy for the work that we used to do years ago." And I just hold my head up, you know, it touched me because it was nice, kind words, you know. And here I'm feeling blues. And before you know it, 90% of those people that was at that dinner went around that table and spoke about what they did, but they all said words to me that the things that I did with them years ago. And then it dawned on me. Because those random acts of kindness that I was giving them back in the day came back and lifted me up. Because at the time, you know, when you're in a state of depression, you kind of down on yourself. You know, you don't feel like you're worth nothing. But because all of those people that were there were sharing all of these different stories that I even forgot about, people that I had impact on were sharing information how I impacted their life. And you see, those kind words lifted me back up, got me back up on my feet again, got me back on the battlefield. And so I said all of this to say this. Your words here at this time of the year, and this is a crazy time of the year, this is the holiday season, more suicide, more depressions comes to people around this time of the year. And if you go around and just do random acts of kindness, just a hello sometime, a smile, do little small things for people, you never know the impact that it may have on an individual who's going through something. Back to you, Brother Sakari.
Yes, sir. It's so valuable what you just shared with me, because we all at times go through states of depression. You know what I mean? I've had my battle and my share with depression, and it always do I come to the conclusions. I ran into a friend of mine earlier today, you know, and we was just talking about false evidence appearing real, which is fear. And that when you let false evidence appear real, your mind will run away from you. And if you let your mind run away from you, you know, you begin to worry about stuff that ain't even happening. But you know, in your mind, because we beat ourselves up daily, you know, and the thing that we got to learn how to do is not to abuse ourselves with beating ourselves up, because we're living better, as me and him talked about here, you know, we're living better than 80% of the people in the world. And I know for people out there that's listening, you might say, "Man, you don't know what problems I got." Whatever problems you got, somebody got 10 times more of them. You know what I mean? We're living better than 80% of the people in the world. You know, there's people in the world that live off of less than a dollar a month. You know, and, you know, yeah, it's relative in terms of the things that we're faced with and the issues and challenges that we have. But it's all manageable, because at the bottom line, at the end of the day, we all staying somewhere. We're all getting something to eat. And if you have family and loved ones, then, you know, you got the greatest human connection there is. And we just need to learn how to cherish those relationships. I know there's people in a time, like you said, you know, in our family that and take us through the ringer, give us the blues and everything else. And the bottom line is, I remember Lynn Bias' mother, we used to bring her to the Culture Center to speak at times, and, you know, she talked about how she lost both of her sons. She lost Lenny and she lost Jay. And, you know, and she shared with the audience from her son's tragic death that she wanted to be able to share with them, that let their life be a lesson for folk to learn, you know, what to do, what not to do. She says, because when people are no longer here, and you might say, well, you know, that person, they used to get on my nerves, I can't stand their voice. She said, when they're gone, she said, you're going to miss that voice. You know, no matter how much you might feel as though you didn't like them, you didn't agree with them, you know, especially I'm talking about family right now, is that when you're not able to see them anymore, and their life is gone, and they've been snuffed out, and they go to wherever people go to in the next dimension when we transition, you're going to miss not being able to talk to them or whatever. So, you know, because it was a person in the audience at the time who was talking about how they couldn't stand their mother and that they wished their mother was dead. You know, and so Dr. Bias had to remind him, said, look, I don't know what it is about your mother that you can't stand. She says, or whatever it is, she says, when she's gone and she can't get on your nerves no more, she said, you're going to miss her not being able to get on your nerves. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you know, it's a powerful thing, you know, when people, you know, leave this earth. And you hit on a powerful thing, man, you know. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves. You know, nobody can beat us like we can beat our own selves. You know, because we know all our little, you know, little deep things about ourselves that, you know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God made each and every one of us uniquely. We're original. We're the one of a kind. And no matter what we go through, you know, we made choices in life. Sometimes the choices got in there. Sometimes things just happen. Random things just happen to you. But, as you said something before, no matter what you go through in this life, there are people right now to this day will pay $1 million, $1 billion to be in your situation. You know, you walking around healthy, but yet you got the blues. Some people are in the hospital dying. I don't care. No amount of money can save them, but would pay a fortune to be in your shoes. You got people right now, you know, I was just looking at the news. People right here on the border, thousands of them, have walked and did everything for them out with children in tow. Everything they own is on their backs, trying to get into the United States. To be met with opposition, and yet they're going to try to fight their way. That's how desperate people are. And here we're sitting in home, like you say, our stomachs are full. Even if you are home, there's shelters. I mean, places that you can go to. You know, and you know, like I said, it's a matter of choices sometimes. But at the same time, you know, we have to learn to be grateful for what we have and where we are. You know, one thing about humans and about life and even about time, you can change your mindset. You can, most of the time, you can even change your situations. And if you are sick, if you are going through stuff, if you are having anything, thank God for the time that you did have. Because some people, babies are dying. Didn't even get a chance. People are being snuffed out before they're 10 years old, 15, 20 years old. Here I am, 67-year-old man, done been there and done that and still looking forward to doing a lot of other things. Outlived quite a few. And yet sometimes I can sit up there and if I allow, like you said, that false evidence of things appearing real, that fear, that false stuff get into your mindset, and you can wipe all of those wonderful thing that God has blessed us with us because of false evidence things, the things that we let beat on us sometimes, when we have the ability or choices in life that can change things. And speaking about changing things, you know, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but that's exactly why we do the National Black Unity News, because we want to change things. See, this is the type of stuff that we put in our publication. We have a group of people. I'm talking, man, let me just say this to you about the National Black Unity News. Like I said in the beginning statement, that we've only been around a little over a year and a half. Since that time, you know, I do a lot of research, just like I mentioned to you about the documentary about the black press, Soldiers Without Swords, the history of it. But I'm proud to say this day that most of the biggest newspapers in this, black newspapers in this country, only had about, the largest one had 15 columnists working for them at one time. And that was the largest one in the country. And even to this day, the largest newspaper in this country outside of the National Black Unity News still only had about 15, 20 people working for them. Do you know at this current time right now, you go get a National Black Unity News and look at the contributors and editors in the National Black Unity, it's about 40 to 50 of us in there. And so if that's being true, based on everything else, we are the largest black newspaper in the country. And we are probably the only nationwide circulated newspaper in the country that I'm aware of. And so, and we just beginning. I know I hit that phone, but, you know, I can't cut it off right now. I'm trying to get to it. But in any case, the National Black Unity News, like I say, we had some dealings with a lot of African countries that we're in negotiation with. They want to use this publication to encourage their people. And so we're looking at this time. Here it is at the end of the year. Our next issue will be out January the 1st. This is a great opportunity. If you out there who have a business or service, and you have the, and you know you got a product or service that you know can help us as a people, then you need to give me a call, because we have an affordable and a very effective way of getting your message out there. You can become an editor in the National Plus. You have the heart and the mindset to help our people out, then you need to sit down and talk to me. It don't cost you nothing to sit down and talk to me. But I tell you one thing. This is what could happen. We can provide a format to you that can reach people not all over this country, but and beyond. But this is some serious times, ladies and gentlemen. As I was just saying, we were speaking about random acts of kindness. Words are powerful, and that's what a newspaper is. It's a powerful, powerful tool, and it has the power to influence mindsets. It can encourage people, just like that little girl that I mentioned to you about, you know, that came to that event. We don't know the impact this publication had, but I do know the results that is coming back to me. I'm getting so much positive feedback because this paper has, and not only is it effective, but it's making an impact already. And the reason being is not because of David Murphy. Yes, I helped. Not because of Tommy. Yes, he helped. But it's all of us. And the most important thing about the National Black Unity News is this. To me, I'm going to just say straight up, I have no shame in my game. It's divine inspired. This is not about me. I mean, it's left up to me. I'm just saying, I do what I can, but you know, but for some reason, and I know the reason, okay, that I'm encouraged to do this. And I'll say this again, my steps are ordered. So if you out there, and you know you have a good business or service, no matter what, we need to talk. Let's reason together. Because people out there need to hear from you. We provide the format so people can hear from you. And like I say, this thing is changing people's lives. Like I say, it can save people's lives. But I know one thing, nobody is going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. And I'm going to say this, I say it almost in every show. Why do you think people come from all over the world, and here we're talking about, you know, things can be rough, but they come right to the ghetto, right to the hood, set up shop, and make a fortune. Then they go back to their little communities and everything else. But they extract money from our communities. But can you imagine, this is one of the purposes of the National Black Unity News, to keep that money, that $1.2 trillion, what they say we have, but I believe it's four times or five times more than that, to keep that money circulated throughout our own community and our businesses so that we can build better communities. We can build better and stronger businesses. We can have better and stronger schools. Now, I would tell you about that documentary early. Think about all the black colleges that we created back in the day during those rough times. Look at the businesses that we had, the black Wall Streets and everything else that we had built, Rosewoods and all of those type places back in the day. Yeah, we got watered down. We got tricked into a whole lot of other stuff. But, you know, we are still resilient type of people. And I'm not saying I don't do this with nobody else to do that, but you need to look for, you know, take care. We're the only people in this world right now, the only group of people that don't support one another. But we are changing that. Because right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't, it's about survival now. And like I tell you, we're the only species on earth that don't look out for their young. We have to build strong foundations, not only for our children, but our children's children. We're building a legacy, a foundation, a strong foundation. And it's going to take each and every one of us to participate. You need to support our businesses and services. That means we need to build better schools, better communities, and therefore we can have a better future. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, I think about, you know, what you just shared and how my grandmother used to say, charity starts at home and then spreads abroad. That, you know, we have to look out for each other and we have to do for self. Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about do for self. You know, look out for yourself first. How do we take and do that without people thinking that we're being selfish? You know, because we have to look out. You know, they have books written called Looking Out for Number One. I remember reading that book. And, you know, it was part of the whole self-motivation piece of personal development, looking out for number one, Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich, a black choice. Thinking Big. There's so many different publications that I could just randomly go through real quick, like What Makes the Great Great by Dennis Kimbrough. Famous is Daily Motivations for African American Success. The books have been written, the sacrifices have been made. And as Dennis Kimbrough talked about when he was working on What Makes the Great Great, that's the book he really wanted to publish first. W. Clement Stone gave him access to Napoleon Hill's last piece that he was working on, which was a piece for African-American success. And he said when he was working on that book, you know, his house went into repossession. Lights got cut off. So he had so many different challenges and stuff that he was going through. And said, you know, he was tempted at times to ask W. Clement Stone for an advance on the book. You know, I'm working on this book, this manuscript. You know, can you help me out? W. Clement Stone's response was, I know you're going through something, he says, but part of all of this so that you can learn the principles of success by going through what you're going through. And, you know, he said that was a hard pill to swallow. You know, and he said, you know, but he ended up learning how to swallow that pill, you know, move on, and he became tremendously successful to the things that he's doing. I mean, he's big in prepaid legal. I forget what their top position is in there, but he has that position through network marketing. He's got several books that he's written that are bestsellers. But the biggest thing is understanding what success looks like. A lot of us think that success is like playing in a football game. And you score all the touchdowns or something like that.
Yep.
You know, it's nothing like that. You know.
You know what, Brother Satavi, on that note, you know, like I tell people often, you know, propaganda would have you believe success has got to have a certain amount of money. Propaganda would have you believe if you don't have this amount of cars or live in this certain neighborhood, then you're not successful. But see, one thing I do know, each and every man out here, and woman or child, that God put gifts and talents in each and every one of them. You find your gift. You nurture your gift and your talent, and it will make a way for you. That's written. It's written in the Word, but I'm just saying this. Look within yourself. Don't keep looking for outside resources. All the time. You have everything you need within you. Nurture yourself. Nurture those gifts and talents. Put in the work, and I guarantee you, your gift will make a way for you. Brother Satavi, before I get back to you, sir, I just want to give my number and to the paper out again. It's the National Black Unity News. com and I can be reached at 443-455-2373. Back at you, sir.
Yes, sir. We're going to get ready to close out with a theme song called It's My Time. And listen to the words very carefully. I would suggest that you take this song and make it your theme song, because it is our time. And when we listen to the word, and it talks about when I use my mind and have my thoughts in order with clarity and other stuff, that there's nothing that can stop me from being able to achieve what I need to be able to achieve. So let's move on to the theme song called It's My Time.